Dio. Typically, we tend to hear that statement, Gloria in Excelsis is Deo, only during the Christmas time. But remember, this particular Latin word, Gloria in Excelsis is Deo, means glory to God in the highest. That was the way in which the angels were singing praises and worshiping the Lord when Jesus was born as a human being in this earth. Glory to God in the highest. And this doxology that reminds us of being able to give glory to the Lord in everything, in every way, to know that He is the only God, the peculiar God. He is also a powerful God, and He is the one who is a protecting God. And as we continue worshiping this Lord, remember, as we were reminded also, that it is not just the first few minutes of 45 minutes or 1 hour of worship time, and after that we don't focus on worship. We actually worship the Lord through songs. We worship the Lord through the words of our mouth. We worship the Lord through the Word of God. We worship the Lord by taking part in the Lord's table. We worship the Lord by giving our offerings as well. In every way, we worship the Lord. That is something we should never forget. And today, as we are reminded of it, in everything that we do, let us give glory and honor to our God. Today, as we continue our series on Bible, the whole counsel of God being declared, to be able to understand the entire purpose of God. What is His purpose? Looking at the big picture of God, rather than trying to look only in one portion and say, okay, this is what has happened, but to be able to understand what is that big picture of God and His plan for each of us in this world that we are in, and the years, the end times, as well as to be able to know what is going to come as well. Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, Paul reminding once again to the fact that his sharing of the word is to declare the whole counsel of God, and he did not shun away from it. Today, it's the last Sunday of summer. Did you know that? Official fall or autumn begins tomorrow onwards. That's the typical way we see the weather is still warm. And the seasons change, but we thank God for enabling us to pass from one season to the other season in our lives, that God would take care of every season that we experience together as a local church as well. May the Lord enable us to continue to grow strong in Him, to be able to face the seasons that come in our lives, to be able to get adjusted to it in such a manner that we bring glory and honor to God by being fruitful unto Him as well. Last few weeks, we were meditating upon the book of Genesis. As we were sharing, this book of Genesis is talking about various things related to the primeval history as well as the patriarchal history. The two things that we were meditating upon, the first 11 chapters reminding us of the primeval history and then the patriarchal history from chapter 12 onwards. We have meditated upon the three major characters of the patriarchal fathers, which is Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we stopped at Genesis chapter 36. For today's portion, let us read one key verse that we can read from Genesis chapter 50 and verse 24. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 24 altogether, please. Shall we read this verse altogether, please? May the Lord enable us to be able to learn scriptural, spiritual lessons from His word. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am dying, but God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land to the land of which He swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Once again, He is reminding of the patriarchal fathers. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the covenant that was established, what He swore, God who swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. May the Lord bless the reading of this word, Father loving God, as we worship You, because You are the only God, the peculiar God. You are the God who is a protecting God. You are the God who is the one who is a powerful God in my life as well. Thank You, Lord, that You have come down into this world and taken away the punishment of sin that I'm born with. I thank you, Lord, for dying for me on the cross of Calvary for the remission of my sins. Thank you, Lord, for enabling me to worship you in this manner as we gather together. Lord, may you speak to each one of us as we meditate on your word, for we ask all this in the precious name of our dear Lord and our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Just as a recap of the lineage from Terah, all the way, as we have meditated in the past about Abraham and how Abraham has two sons, Isaac and Ishmael, and the promised son was Isaac, and to whom was born Esau, also called Edom, and Jacob, also called Israel, and how Isaac married Rebekah, Jacob married Leah and Rachel. And now we see the 12 tribes. Actually, if you count here, it's actually a total, if you leave aside Joseph, it is 13 here, out of which Levi was the portion of God. So in a way, the 12 sons actually were divided into 12 plus 1. Levi is additional because Ephraim and Manasseh got equal portions as the sons of Joseph. And that is where we are going to study today's portion. And may the Lord enable us to be able to focus our attention on this. Which is the book that is most widely read book in the Bible? What is the most widely book read Psalms, some say? Some say John. Good. Proverbs. Wonderful, wonderful. They're very popular books. But if I'm asked, I would say Genesis. You know why? Beginning of the year, people start reading Genesis. And first month is over, slowly they slow down. And they might go into something else, brother. I don't know where I stopped. So the book of Genesis is, next year comes again Genesis. Again Genesis, again Genesis. People keep on reading Genesis. And I hope that, you know, whatever I'm sharing, you know it by now. And when you started Genesis, I hope you finished Genesis. I'm not sure if you have completed Genesis. Sometimes we might be reading so slow that we end up not even being able to complete the book of Genesis. I'm sure most of us have experienced it. At least in the beginning days of the year, we tend to read with so much of zeal, saying that this is a resolution that I have taken, etc. So I feel that probably at least the ones who are regular readers of the Bible or a year, you know, 1 year Bible kind of people might be reading Genesis more often than the other books. This book of Genesis, as I was sharing with you, the first 11 chapters cover around 2,000 years of the history. And then from chapter 12 all the way to chapter 50 covers around 350 years. Now you see the focus of how God wanted to make sure just the 350 years, he focused from 12th chapter all the way till 50th chapter. And these major characters of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we have seen it. But if you really look at the chapters in the book of Genesis, 1/4 or a quarter of this book is focused upon Joseph. Quarter of this book. So he is also a major character in the book of Genesis. Did you know that? Most of the time we think about Noah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Joseph is also one of the major characters as recorded in the book of Genesis. For those of us, parents, who have spent time with your children, especially for the recent KFC, probably you must have really studied along chapter 37 to chapter 50 quite a bit. I hope so. At least I'm one of them. I went through it chapter by chapter with our children to be able to understand what exactly was the story of Joseph. And I have seen the posters that they have created also. Wonderful. Thank the Lord for the way in which they have really brought forth wonderful comparisons with Jesus Christ as well. And the course of the history of what has happened as well. Today we are going to look into it quickly enough to be able to understand. This is, again, a long portion. I hope we can be able to cover it. I just wanted to share with you just a picture that I have come across. The timeline of Genesis. The timeline of Genesis, based on the years that they have lived, this is the kind of an overlapping time of the various people that were in the book of Genesis, the major characters that are in the book of Genesis, from Adam all the way to Joseph. From Adam all the way to Joseph, each one living around 900 years initially. The longest one is Methuselah. And if you see Methuselah and you see the line across it, he stops at the flood. Because till then, God was gracious. And the moment Methuselah died, there was a flood. And Noah and his sons were the ones who survived the flood area. And after that are the various people that are born. So this part from Abraham to Joseph, the last four characters, is around 350 years. Just wanted to give you a background of the entire book of Genesis from a timeline perspective. If you were to take how long each one lived, this is the kind of understanding that we could have. Today's sermon is titled, Canaan to Egypt. Canaan to Egypt. Interesting. Typically, we focus on Egypt to Canaan. But today, our focus is on Canaan to Egypt because Genesis talks about it. And in the life of Joseph and Jacob, we were going to see it. But just to let you know, if you have read through the previous chapters, we didn't go deep into it. But Abraham also, we kind of touched upon it. Abraham went from Canaan to Egypt. There was a famine. Isaac went from Canaan to Egypt. And now today, we are going to see two other characters who went from Canaan to Egypt. Okay? So that is what we are going to look at. And we are going to focus upon this character named Joseph. Joseph was born in Paddan Aram. Remember the Paddan Aram? The kind of way in which, to the north of Canaan, where Jacob was sent by his parents to be able to go and find a wife there. And that is where Joseph was born. And then Jacob brings along his 11 sons and his family members. And on the way, Rachel gives birth to Benjamin and she dies. And that is how the 12 sons of Jacob were born. Just to give you a background of the birth of Joseph. Birth of Joseph and how he was a young boy, little boy, to come all the way from Paddan Aram along with his dad Jacob, down passing through various places, the Mahanaim, crossing the Jordan River, ultimately settling at Hebron. And that is what we see here in Genesis chapter 37. Genesis chapter 37. We're going to look at a few aspects about this particular character of Joseph. The word Joseph means, may the Lord add another. That's what the name of this word Joseph is. And then finally, Rachel has another son, may the Lord add another. God is a God who adds. And that is what we need to understand when we think about the name Joseph. Chapter 37. Now Jacob lived in the land where his father has sojourned in the land of Canaan. In the land of Canaan. These are the records of the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when 17 years of age, now we are going to jump from the time Joseph was born in chapter 30 of Genesis to the time he is 17 years of age. We are going to pick up as a young man, a teenager, 17 years of age. Chapter 37 and verse 2. He was 17 years of age, was pasturing the flock with his brothers while he was still a youth, along with the sons of Bilhah and the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. Israel loved Joseph more than all his sons because he was a son of his old age, and he made him a very colored tunic. His brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, and so they hated him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. He had a dysfunctional family. He was going through difficult times within the family. Though, you can put a heading here. In the Canaan to Egypt. The first block, please note it down. A pet or a pasture, if you want to say. Pasturing the flock, it says in chapter 37 and verse 2. He was like a pet. In what way? He was being taken care by his dad so much. After the death of his beloved wife, Rachel, he was so close to Joseph. Though Benjamin also was one of the sons of Rachel, his closeness to Joseph was very unique. And that is what we see in Genesis chapter 37. And we see that he was loved and hated within the family. He was a son who was loved by the father. He was a brother hated by his brothers. That was the kind of a difficult situation that he was living in his house as a 17-year-old boy. Or for that matter, 17-year-old young man, if I may say. He was pasturing the flock from the pasture. Or like a pet, he was slow. He was taken care of so closely by his dad. He was like a closest son of Joseph. And we see here that he had two dreams. He had two dreams. And he shares those dreams very openly with his brothers. In terms of being able to say that about the sheaves in the field, how they were bowing down to his sheaf. And the brothers got angry. They started to interpret this dream and saying that, would you reign over us? So they hated him even more for his words. Verse 8. And then verse 9. Yet another time he had another dream. Two dreams. And again in this dream we see the sun, moon, and the story goes on in terms of sharing that story with his brothers. Sun, moon, and the 11 stars in verse 9. And we see here that the father now says, what is this dream that you had? Are we going to bow down to you? And verse 7, his brothers were jealous of him. The brothers were hating him. The brothers were jealous of him. And that is what we see. Then his brothers went to pasture their father's flock in Shechem. They were living in Hebron and they were going to Shechem and to be able to take care of the flock. And we see here in this particular story that we are going to jump to the second block of it. But before that, I want to show you a map as to how Joseph traveled along because of the brother's path as well. If you see here, can you go to the next slide? If you see here, from Hebron, they go to Bethel and to Shechem. That is their typical path. And from there, we see that they go to Dothan. And from Dothan, he is sold to Egypt. That is what the story is. So let us see the second portion of it, which is a pit. Which is a pit. First, he was like a pet or he was pasturing the flock. And the next slide is pit. What is it? In the pit or the story of the pit, we see here, first of all, their original plan was to kill him. Their original plan was to kill him. Verse 18, when they saw him from a distance, before he came close to them, they plotted against him to put him to death. Original plan to kill him. And then we see the story where Reuben tells him, hey, let us not take his life. Let us put him in the pit. And then we notice that later on, when Judah said his brothers, why is it that we need to kill our brother? In verse 26, he says, verse 27, come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and lay not our hands on him. He was sold to Ishmaelites. Who are these? Israelites. Israelites, one of the brothers, one of the sons of Israel, sell one of their own brother to Ishmaelites. That is the kind of hatred they had. They didn't care. You see, there is a promised son and the one who was born to Hagar out of their own will. And now these Israelites are selling their brother to the Ishmaelites. And later we see how the Midianites also come and they pass by in verse 28. And we see how he is sold. Verse 28, some Midianite traders come pass by. They pulled him up, lifted Joseph out of the pit, sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. Thus they brought Joseph into Egypt. That is the story we see here about how they go ahead. Rather than killing their son, they throw him into the pit and finally sell their brother Joseph to the Ishmaelites who were on their way to Egypt. And then they go, tell a lie to their father Jacob, because his father loves Joseph so much that he could not bear the news of his beloved son, Joseph. And from Jacob's perspective, Joseph died. From Jacob's perspective, Joseph died. Just like from Abraham's perspective, he killed Isaac. Though he literally did not, Isaac came back to life. From Jacob's perspective, Joseph died. That is what he believed throughout the story. And scenes change here. In chapter 38 is a different scene. Not Joseph focusing on Joseph, but this dysfunctional family, to the extent of the kind of relationship that existed in the family here. We see Judah and how he has relationship with Tamar. That story is mentioned terribly. You know, the scriptures record the things, not just the positive things that were happening, but also the negative things for us to learn not to do as well. And from that particular relationship between Judah and Tamar came Perez, and the story just stops there in chapter 38. Suddenly, chapter 37 is about Joseph. Chapter 38, nothing talked about Joseph because he's on his way to Egypt. So while he was on his way to Egypt, this was what was going on in Canaan, in the family of Jacob. Terrible things. But God is a God who brings good things out of terrible things as well. That is what we can see here. Back to the story of Joseph in chapter 39. This here, this particular story, again, this is a very familiar story. Please read it if you haven't read it so. And another point that we can learn here is Potiphar. Potiphar, the Lord was with him and he was fleeing from temptation. Two points that we can learn from Potiphar's house. Verse chapter 39, Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an Egyptian officer of Pharaoh, captain of the bodyguard, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. He was sold to Egypt. He was sold to Ishmaelites who were on their way to Egypt, and again, they might have sold for another price to Potiphar. But if you see chapter 39 and verse 2, something very important to be able to note. The Lord was with Joseph. Though he was taken to a foreign country, though he was taken out of his will, not as part of his will, it was not his plan in a way, but he was sent. He was sent out in order to be able to go to Egypt. But the Lord was with Joseph. That is what we see in verse 3. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. If you see in verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. Master saw that the Lord was with Joseph. He was working in Potiphar's house. That was his job, in other words. In his job environment, in his job place, the Lord was with Joseph. Not only does the Bible say that the Lord was with Joseph, his boss saw that the Lord was with Joseph. It is not that the success of Joseph is because of his own strength, but his boss saw that the Lord was with Joseph. Interesting and important element here. Does your boss know that you are a child of God? Does your boss know that the Lord is with you in all circumstances that you are going through in your life? Or you are hiding as much as possible. I don't want to let others know that I am a child of God. Or are you able to stand for the principles of what God has been teaching you? Whether it is in your workplace or in your school, or wherever you are, the circle of your influence. Can you say, the Lord is with me, the Emmanuel God is with me? Can others say that God is with so and so? But we see here, he saw that the Lord was with him. How did he see that the Lord was with him? It's not mentioned. How did he see the Lord sitting beside him and talking to him? How did the master, if you really focus upon it, how did the master see that the Lord was with him? By his life. By the way he talked. By the way he might have spent time in praying to the Lord. How he was able to depend on God in everything. That is what we can say, that the master saw that the Lord was with him. And it's not just trying to show for. Sometimes we try to show off. When it is us, we might pray 2-second prayer for food. But if it is in front of others, we keep on, because others are watching me. Is that the kind of life we are living? To show off? God with me should result in something that the other people may be able to see. Hey, what is going on? How are you being able to do so well in this project? How are you able to handle the stress in this project? How are you able to handle the challenges? Yeah, there are bugs there. How are you able to find out and catch and debug them? From the software bugs, I'm saying. Maybe it could be bugs, real bugs too. How are you able to do that? I see that you are able to be peaceful, joyful. I have that experience in my workplace. People came and said, and it's not about me again, they were saying, how is it that this person so is smiling? He's good to work with. Why? And there was another person, another Christian, who said, because he has Jesus in him. It's not me. I didn't say that. People can see through our life, through our testimony, in spite, you can boss over at the position that you are in. But it is not about it. It is about how you handle things. It is very important for us to be able to note that you should experience the God being with you, and others should be able to see that God is with you. And that can be seen in your testimony. When Joseph was elevated in Potiphar's house, he was tempted. He was tempted by Potiphar's wife, and how he handled it. And he said, how can I do this against God? How can I sin against God? Those are the principles of Joseph. Oh, try to fiddle with it. It's okay. Try to let it go. Do something others will not see. Such kind of temptations might come in our lives. May not be as big temptations as Joseph got, or maybe we might come across this kind of temptations as well. How do we handle it? Nobody is watching us. Nobody is there in the house. Nobody is there in the workplace. Nobody is there in the school. How do we handle it when temptations come? He was a young man, 17 years age. Lot of hormones changing in his body. Temptations coming in. He was able to resist temptation. He flew away from the temptation. But he was falsely accused. The same person who tempted him falsely accused him and told it to her husband, who threw him into the next point, Potiphar's. From Potiphar's house to prison. Next one. Please note it down. To the prison. To the prison. Same Genesis chapter 39. He was thrown into the prison. Verse 20. So Joseph's master took him and put him into the jail, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. He was arrested, in other words. And he was put in the jail. He was confined. Verse 21. But the Lord was with Joseph, and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. Even if we are falsely accused, maybe you must have been very faithful in your work. Because of your faithfulness in your work, you may be hated or having jealousy by the fellow workers who might throw you off. But let me tell you, if you are faithful to God and his principles, the Bible says here in verse 21, the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. In spite of the sufferings that Joseph was going through in a foreign land, not because of anything that he had committed, he was falsely accused and he was thrown into the prison. He was arrested. But the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph and showed kindness to him. Wonderful. I really love the way in which we see here. In the prison again, chapter 40. Two dreams. You see the repetition of certain bullets here? In the first box, two dreams. In the third box, the Lord was with him. And in the fourth box, Lord was with him and two dreams. Some kind of a similarity that we see, that it is talking about two dreams. And the two dreams are with the cupbearer and the baker. And Joseph was there with them. And while he was telling the interpretations, he was saying, this is my understanding of this dream because I've been having dreams from my childhood. No, he didn't say that. You know what he said? He said in verse 8, then Joseph said to them, second portion, do not interpretations belong to God? Interpretations belong to God. Let me tell you, most of the time, interpretations, people tend to make their own interpretations of anything that God speaks or the word of God. But even interpretation should be of God. You see that? Interpretations also should be of God. The word of God is there. And when you try to interpret it also, may God give the interpretation of the scriptures. Not another person. Not your own self-understanding of this is my understanding of what it says. Let the interpretation be of God. Even this dream interpretation, he always focused on God. Even in the prison, he was able to tell about God. Who is this God? They might say, we never heard about this God. We are in Egypt. Who is this God? And I don't know what all conversations he might have had. And he talks about the way in which the cupbearer and the baker, they end up having dreams. And one of them, the cupbearer is going to be released and the baker would be hanged. That is what the interpretation was. And it was fulfilled in verse 21 and 22 of Genesis chapter 40. That is how we see that the experience of Joseph. In verse 23, yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph but forgot him. Joseph was hoping that there could come a point of time that the cupbearer might go when he is released to tell Pharaoh. But let me tell you, God's timings are the most important timings. Joseph also was hoping that the cupbearer could tell it, but God had his time. You know how long it took? Chapter 41 and verse 1. How long he waited? Now it happened at the end of 2 full years. Full years. Not even approximately 2 years. 2 full years, completion of 2 years he was waiting. Oh man, this cupbearer, I thought he would go and tell the Pharaoh. He did not, but he waited. He waited patiently. He waited patiently to the extent of being able to see the next box here. Pharaoh. Note it down, Pharaoh. Again, he had 2 dreams. Interesting. All two dreams. Joseph's experience is with 2 dreams everywhere. 2 dreams. What are those 2 dreams? We know this particular story that there were some gaunt cows, the thin cows, and there were other cows as well. They ate up the fat cows in verse 4. Pharaoh woke up. He fell asleep again, verse 5, dreamed a second time. And then 7 ears of grain, the single stalk. And we see verse 6, again, the thin ears of grain sprouted up after them. They swallowed, verse 7, swallowed up the 7 plump and full ears. Then Pharaoh woke, and behold, it was a dream. It was a dream. And that is when after 2 years, after Pharaoh had 2 dreams, probably he might have thought, oh, there were 2 dreams in the prison also. Cupbearer might have thought, I got a dream. The baker got a dream. 2 dreams. Pharaoh also got 2 dreams. Now he's saying somebody should interpret it. There is one person who said, do not interpretations belong to God. God made this person remember after 2 years. God enabled this cupbearer to remember after 2 years. You might keep having a grudge over some people who are not remembering you. But God sometimes enables those people not to remember in here for 2 years. And sometimes we make a grudge over them. This is what happens. You know, I do so much and this guy never responded. He never remembered the favor that I have given to him. Sometimes we might end up such kind of behavior. But if we are under the will of God, God will teach us patience enough to be able to accept that anything that happens in our lives happens in accordance to the will of God. Remember that. God, if the Lord is with you, He will do it in accordance to His will. But be under His will. Obey His word. Focus upon Him. Be His witness wherever you are, whether you are in Potiphar's house, whether you are in the prison, whether you are in the pit. Never forget the presence of God with you. And that is what we see here, that he goes in front of Pharaoh. It is like an interview now. In front of Pharaoh, he stands in front of Pharaoh. And then he says, I have had a dream. I heard that you can interpret it. Verse 15. I heard that one of my employees said that this person who was an employee of Potiphar, we want to bring you back here. I want to have an interview with you. First question. The first question is, I heard that you you interpreted a dream. I heard that you can interpret it very well. Verse 15. When you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Immediately, Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. See how much Joseph depended on God to give an answer in an interview. God will give you a favorable answer to the extent of him being able to answer that question. And then he explains the two dreams. He says these two dreams are to remind you, Pharaoh, that this is what is going to happen. Verse 25. God has told to Pharaoh that he's about to do it. 7 years of abundance and 7 years of plague. Verse 32, he also explains one more step ahead. He says, now as for the repeating of the dream to Pharaoh twice, it means that the matter is determined by God. And God will quickly bring it about. He is using not his wisdom. He is focusing on God. God is going to do this. And then he suggests to see how to be able to have a plan of action. How to prepare strategic way of approaching the next 7 years plan. How to be able to plan ahead. As a company, what should we do? As a kingdom, what should we do? In a heathen land. In a foreign land. He suggested how that particular kingdom can be able to withstand the famine that was going to come after 7 years. He tells 1/5 of the portion, 20% of the income, store it. That's what he said. Every year, keep on storing it. 1/5, that's what he says. And then we see here, the proposal seemed good to Pharaoh and all his servants. And verse 38. Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom there is the Spirit of God? Spirit of God is within him. God is in him. The Lord was with him. The Lord was in him. The Spirit of God in him. The divine Spirit. The Spirit of God enabling his spirit to be able to get aligned so much so that he could speak as God intends him to speak. That is the kind of experience that he was able to have with Pharaoh. And then we see the next box, the prince. The prince. 30 years. You see, the first box, 17 years when he was in the pasture like a pet to his dad, 17-year-old boy. It took him 13 years of suffering in his life. 13 years of waiting upon the Lord. Not in one place, multiple places. And now we see that he was exalted. Because we see here that Pharaoh puts him at the top. And that is what we see. That for 7 years he started putting all the grains into the storage, so much so, it says in verse 49, Joseph stored up grain in great abundance like the sand of the sea until he stopped measuring it, for it was beyond measure. He started saying, okay, one-fifth, 20%, 20%, let's start putting it. And it became so abundant that their records could not handle how much storage that they got to be ready for famine. Be prepared for adversity. Be prepared for adversity. Many people I tend to talk, financially they are not prepared for situations when they don't have a job. When there is a crisis back in the country where they have come from, for them to go back to their country, no money. Why? Don't you have emergency fund? Don't you maintain it? Don't you store some reserve to be able to make sure that if anything happens, I would be able to use that? Does somebody need to teach this? Financial management, financial stewardship. It is not about going after others and say, I want this, this is what I'm going through. What happened when you were earning? What happened when you got your job? Didn't you save it? When you were in abundance, what were you doing? Were you using it off fully? No savings? Joseph was a man of God who made sure for 7 years, when he knew about the situation, he ensured that there was a good preparation for adversity. Sometimes our foolishness makes us think that we are going through tough times. Yes, of course, there would be people who could help you in adversity. But when you were good enough, when you had the job, what were you doing? We need to ask God to give us wisdom. Joseph had wisdom from God. He was able to use that wisdom in his job. He was able to help his company or his kingdom to be able to withstand adversity. That is what we should learn, my dear. When we are living on this earth, the biblical principles can be applied to our daily life. Don't try to separate it out saying at work, no God. At church, only God. What is it? Why? Can't you apply biblical principles when you're in your workplace? Why not? We can. If Joseph can, you and I can. You see that? Live out as a witness for God. Not to the extent of saying, my job, I cannot finish this work. All I do is put on headphones and start listening to the music at workplace. Not finishing up my job. That is a bad testimony, let me tell you. I know people who are not able to finish their job, but spending the time, others came and told me, hey, so look at that person. I felt so much that the testimony of the Lord is affected here. Yes, you need to listen to God's word or sing songs, not to the extent of affecting your project. When God has put you in that position, you are supposed to do your job faithfully. Ask God for his guidance. I'm not saying that. When you have a time of break or when you are able to handle things together, yes, do it. But not to the extent of being pointed by others saying, see this person. I felt really bad to hear that. Specifically, they were quoting of saying about Christians. That was a really bad testimony, my dear. I think I shared with you in the past as well. So let us be very careful in what we understand from it. And also we see here about the next slide about Canaan and Egypt. I wanted to give you this picture just to have a focus of our attention on the direction it is. Canaan is on the right side, on the east. Egypt is on the west side, though it is southwest of Canaan. There is a Red Sea in between. Now people were traveling from Canaan to Egypt. Quickly, I want us to be able to understand certain things. We dealt so far till Genesis 41. Genesis 41. The story of Joseph from the pasture, being a pet of his dad, to becoming a prince. And also, if you see, go back to the previous slide. The second bullet under prince, I think I did not focus upon it. I wanted to mention it. Forgetful and fruitful. We see here, in the foreign land, Joseph marries a Gentile lady. Joseph marries a Gentile lady. God had a purpose. He marries, here we see the daughter of Potiphar's priest, Asenath. through her, he has two sons. He has two sons. And the first son we see here in verse 51, firstborn Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. Because of the suffering that he had to forget the troubles, that the sufferings that he went through, not to be able to remember the past, the sufferings that he had. So he called his son Manasseh, saying, forgetful. While he was making that, he had a second son. And second son, verse 52, second Ephraim, for he said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. God had made me forgetful, Manasseh. God had made me fruitful, Ephraim. See how in every aspect of his life, whether it is job, whether it is his family, whether it is his sons, he was able to remember God and saying, God is making me forget my troubles. God is the one, sometimes he enables us to forget certain things for good. And Manasseh is a representation of that. We are going to look at multiple arrows here. You have your in your sermon notes. Let us go to the... Please write down Canaan on the right, Egypt on the left. Canaan on the right and Egypt on the left. There are multiple times they were traveling. If you read from Genesis chapter 37 onwards, the first time in this particular story, Canaan to Egypt happened with just one person going there. Who was it? Joseph. Alone. All alone, he was sent into a foreign land. I don't know, first time when you went to a foreign land, how it you felt all alone. But you knew it. You had plan about it. You only applied for visa. You only got it. But Joseph, it was not the case. He was thrown. He came as a slave to Egypt. That is what we meditated upon. The next one, 10 brothers without Benjamin go to Egypt in Genesis 42. The 7 years were done now. After 7 years, Canaan was going through famine. There was a famine in the land. And you know what Jacob says? Oh, my grandfather Abraham went to Egypt. My dad also went to Egypt. Maybe I'm old. I have 10 sons. Boys, you go. So he sends them. But only 10, okay? No Benjamin. Already I lost Joseph. I have another son through my beloved wife Rachel. I want to keep Benjamin. You go. And then they all go. The story talks about it. I read through it. Joseph remembered, it says in verse 9. Verse 8, Joseph recognized his brothers. Verse 8, Joseph recognized his brothers. Verse 9, Joseph remembered the dreams. He, for 7 years pretty much, almost I think, he forgot. God made him forget his sufferings. Just like for 2 years, cupbearer didn't remember Joseph. Here, Joseph didn't remember his sufferings. Instead, he focused upon how to be able to prepare for adversity along with his family members, his own family for that matter, two sons and his wife. Now he remembered the dreams he had about them. And then he starts working it out and he says, don't you have another brother? They say, yeah, we had another brother, but my dad didn't want to because the older one died. So these brothers also forgot that they sold their brother. They are still thinking that their brother Joseph died. Probably he might have died already. So he says, you go back. Get your brother. But I'm not going to send all the 10 of you. Next slide. 9 brothers without Simeon to Canaan. They keep Simeon hostage and say, hi, Simeon, you stay. Remaining 9, you go. That is Genesis 42. And they go back. Now, afraid to go back to the dad. Because 9 brothers only are going. How many went? 10 brothers went. On return, 9 brothers. Now, they were afraid as to how to handle it. And then we see that this time, next slide, Genesis 43, The 10 brothers with Joseph go to Egypt. Why again 10 brothers with Joseph? Because Simeon is already in Egypt. Simeon is there. Now the 10 brothers with Benjamin go to Egypt in Genesis 43. So Canaan to Egypt was not one time, one arrow, done with it. That was only for Joseph. And then we see the next slide, next arrow. He recognizes his brothers, chapter 44 and 45, and he reveals to his brothers, chapter 44 and 45, as to who he is. He tells that, I am Joseph, your brother. I am the one whom you sold. And he reveals himself to his brothers in chapter 44 and 45. He lets them go once, come back. They fully don't go back. And then he reveals to them in chapter 45. Finally, he deals kindly with his brothers and sends them off to Canaan. So 11 brothers return to Canaan. The next slide. This time, the 11 brothers with Jacob go to Egypt. Genesis 46 to 49. Now Jacob is so happy that his son who was dead is alive. Chapter 46 and 46 talks about it. And we see here, chapter 45 verse 28. Chapter 45 verse 28. Israel said, it is enough. My son Joseph is still alive. I will go and see him before I die. What a joyful moment it is for Jacob. The son whom he believed that he died, he's alive. And he goes, 46, and they settle in Goshen, as recorded in chapter 47. And then we see how in the last days of Jacob, chapter 48 and 49, he blesses all the sons of Israel. And he talks about each one individually. And then he shares about how God has blessed him as well. And then we also notice chapter 48 and verse 20, he puts Ephraim before Manasseh, again from two sons' perspective, just like Jacob went ahead of Esau, Ephraim went ahead of Manasseh. God's plans are unique. And then he says, I am about to die, verse 21. God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. And then he blesses in chapter 49, and he tells that you bury me back in Canaan, don't bury me here in Egypt. That's what he says. Jacob dies by the end of chapter 49, the next arrow. The 12 brothers take Jacob's body to Canaan. The 12 brothers. This time, Joseph also goes. Joseph, who went in the first arrow, who was sold to Egypt, he goes with his 12 brothers to Canaan. That is what is recorded in chapter 50. And final arrow is the 12 brothers return to Egypt as well. After burying their father, they come back and settle in Egypt. The entire family settles in Egypt. Acts chapter 7, Stephen talks about it. Around 75 people, the 12 sons, along with their children and everyone, 75 people, they settle in Egypt. And that is how we see Canaan to Egypt. So much of back and forth happened. At least when I was reading it, this is what I could identify. Canaan to Egypt is not one time. Even for Joseph, he went from Canaan to Egypt, back to Canaan, and again back to Egypt. That's how the 50 chapters end. This story is not complete without understanding the whole counsel of God. What can we learn from this particular story? And that is what we see in the next slide. The similarities of Joseph with Jesus. The similarities of Joseph with Jesus. He was loved by the Father, Genesis 37:3. And Jesus, in his high priestly prayer, says, the way you loved me, Heavenly Father, he says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He was sent to his brethren to see how things are going on to the pasture. John 1:11 says, he went to his own. And then he was rejected by the brethren. They wanted to They were hating him, having jealousy upon him. He was sent to his own, but his own did not receive him. They rejected him, it says. And they plotted to kill him. And even Jesus Christ also, these people, they wanted to kill him. He was sold by his own, Joseph. Similarly, Judas Iscariot sold Jesus. He was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife. Similarly, Jesus was falsely accused, saying that he doesn't care about Caesar. He doesn't do things as recorded in Luke chapter 23, verse 2 and 3. They needed some false accusations upon him. He was imprisoned or arrested. Jesus also was imprisoned, or in other words, he was arrested. He went through trials from one place to the other place, going through open ridicule, tying him, beating him, just like they do in the prisons as well. We see here that Joseph was exalted after suffering. Similarly, Jesus Christ in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 9, it says, he was exalted after he suffered. He was exalted and seated on the throne. And at the name of Jesus Christ, every knee shall bow. And then in chapter 50, Genesis chapter 50 and verse 17, the brothers come and say, please forgive us the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for we did wrong. Please forgive. Joseph wept when they spoke to him. Verse 18, then his brothers also came and fell down before him. Joseph said to him, do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring this present result, to preserve many people alive. So he offered forgiveness to his brothers who really caused him so much of suffering. For 13 years he went through so much of difficulty. Jesus Christ also was beaten, he was ridiculed, falsely accused. But Jesus said, Father, forgive them. He offered forgiveness. While he was hanging on the cross, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Such is the kind of love that Jesus showed towards everyone. He was a savior, provider to his people. Genesis chapter 50, verse 21. He said, I will provide for you and your little ones. So he comforted them. Similarly, we see that Jesus Christ, his name itself says, he will save his people from their sins. He will provide the eternal life for his people. What a wonderful God we have. What a wonderful way to conclude the story of Joseph in understanding who this Jesus is. There could be many more. If I were to ask you, you might say, well, how about this? How about that? Yes. Please come up with it. I'm not the one who's trying to put forth as much list as possible. Even when it comes to he married a Gentile, Jesus Christ's bride is filled with the Gentiles as well. Many truths that we can learn from all of this that we can learn from the story of Joseph. And interestingly, Jesus' earthly father's name is also Joseph. In no way relation, but interestingly, we can see that that word Joseph is so popularly or very widely being able to be heard in the house when Jesus was growing up as well, thinking about this Joseph. He was sent ahead to take care of his brothers. He was sent ahead. Psalm 105, just in conclusion, let us look at Psalm 105. If you haven't read this psalm, this gives you a picture of the things that have happened in Genesis and Exodus, just to let you know. It gives you a history, Psalm 105. And here we see verse 16. Actually, we read through it, right? Earlier, I think last time we read verse 8. He remembered his covenant that he made with Abraham, verse 9, oath to Isaac, confirmed it to Jacob. That was an everlasting covenant. I will give you this land. In verse 16, he called for a famine upon the land. He called for a famine upon the land. You see that? That is what we see in what we can understand. And then he broke the whole staff of bread. Verse 17, he sent a man before them, Joseph, who was sold as a slave. He sent a man before them. God had a plan to send ahead Joseph. God had sent Joseph ahead. Genesis 45 verse 5 also tells that Joseph tells his brothers, God sent me ahead of you so that I can prepare things for you. I know you planned evil against me, but God sent me to this place ahead of you to prepare you. That is the forgiving nature of man. And that can come only from God, who is a forgiving God. Jesus Christ came down into this world. A representation of what we have learned in Joseph can be clearly seen in the life of Jesus and much more. Jesus died. He died for our sins. Joseph, instead of dying, he was thrown into the pit. If you really see the differences, maybe take it as a homework and do a differences as well, like similarities. Wonderful study of the Word of God. I tell you, as we keep meditating upon it, personally read it. You can refer to different sources, but it should be your personal study. When you personal study, you can share it with confidence that this is what I have learned from God's Word. I can categorically say that this is through the understanding that God has given, because He is the one who gives interpretations. Is this not wonderful for us to thank God for Jesus Christ through the life of Joseph? That His whole counsel is being declared to say this is how it is going to happen through the life of Joseph. You will see how things are going to happen through the life of Jesus as well. He died for you and me, dear. He was hanging on the cross and He said, Father, forgive them. Just like Joseph, he forgave his brothers. It is not easy to forgive someone who really hurt you, let me tell you. Maybe somebody has offended you to the extent of unable to forgive them. You might have a grudge upon them. Joseph could have on the cupbearer. Joseph could have on his brothers. But he did not. Let us thank God that He has taught very many lessons for us to be able to put it into practice. When it comes to our daily life, the sufferings that you and I go through in our own homes, in our own circle of influence, maybe extended families, you may be having struggles with your extended families, in-laws or distant families, or you may be having difficulty at workplace, or you may be having difficulty in the neighborhood, let me tell you, you can apply biblical principles. Biblical principles are not just in church. Of course, we have to apply it in church. Sometimes we don't even apply in church. When we have something against each other, do we tend to reconcile? Do we do that at home? This family, which was a dysfunctional family, became a wonderful family towards the end of Genesis chapter 50. You may be having a dysfunctional family. You may be going through difficult times, unable to accept each other. But let me tell you, have the heart of forgiveness. Have the heart of forgetfulness of the things that you need to. And to remember when God reminds you and take it positively. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Wonderful! God turns things for good to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. He said, I will make an everlasting covenant with you. I will not turn away from doing them good. God did not turn away from doing good to Joseph. For 13 years, Joseph was suffering, but God was with him. God was with him. For 2 years in the prison, he was waiting, but God was with him in the prison. Can you experience God's presence when you're going through sufferings in your lives? When you're going through abundance in your life, can you experience God with you? In Potiphar's house, the Lord was with Joseph, and Joseph was a successful man. Lord was with Joseph, he was successful. He was in the prison, the Lord was with Joseph. In both abundance and adversity, experience God's presence in your life, and that will make a difference in our lives as well. Let us thank the Lord for His forgiveness towards us. Many times we might have done things that were really offending to God. We might have brought a bad name to God through our talk, through our behavior, trying to expect things more than giving, trying to offend people, offend God. But we have a God who says, if we confess our sins, He's just and faithful to forgive us from all our sins and unrighteousness. The blood of Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. With our eyes closed and our heads bowed down, may the Lord bless this word.